Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. John's Gospel is my favorite. He is a masterful storyteller. And the stories he recounts from Jesus' life and ministry have been formative in my understanding of Christ's salvation of the world. Our reading today is just a snippet of a much longer story recorded in the 11th chapter of John. Lazarus of Bethany is a dear friend and strong supporter of Jesus, and he falls deathly ill. His sisters, Mary and Martha, send word of the illness to Jesus, who's teaching on the other side of the Jordan. Their anxiety for their brother is evident in the message they send. Lord, he whom you love is ill. Jesus, ever the teacher, sees an opportunity. He loves this family deeply, and yet he stays put. 2 days later, after having said, "This illness doesn't lead to death, it's for God's glory," he suddenly announces, "We're going to Bethany." The disciples are concerned for his safety. He's just left the region of Judea after teaching in Jerusalem, where the leaders first tried to stone him and later tried to have him arrested. "Why go back to Judea?" they ask. "Lazarus, he's dead," Jesus explains. Hearing that Jesus is coming 4 full days after Lazarus has died, Martha runs to meet him. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mary, when she meets Jesus, says the same thing. We heard her say it in our reading today. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I've told you before that when I read scripture, I look for myself in the text. I have to be honest. When I read this text, when I read all of chapter 11, I find myself in these two women, especially at this time of year, just having observed All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day, remembering those I love but see no more, many of whom died long before I was ready to say goodbye, reminds me of how often I have shaken my fist at God, asking, "Where were you? Why did you let this happen?" I too have cried out, "Lord, if you had been here, my grandma, this man who was my second father, my sweet friend, would not have died." I know I'm not alone in having experienced profound grief at the passing of one I love. Grief takes many forms: lack of focus, insomnia, overworking, denial, despair. Somehow grief wraps itself around us, immobilizing us, binding us to ourselves and our sorrow. You know, this passage from John about the raising of Lazarus, it's actually suggested in our Book of Common Prayer for a burial service. That's never made much sense to me. I've always wondered why, when we've lost someone we love deeply, why would we want to read a story about Jesus giving someone else their loved one back? So when I've worked with people on funeral arrangements, I've just steered them toward other, easier texts. I couldn't do that today. Finding this passage specified for the Feast of All Saints brought that same nagging question. Why would we want to read this as we remember saints and souls Jesus hasn't given back to us, as he gave Lazarus back to Martha and Mary? I have to tell you, I didn't really have an answer for that question until this week when I read an article from my favorite homiletics professor at Perkins. She helped me realize I've been finding myself in the text in Mary and Martha and then waiting for a miracle in my life like I've seen in theirs. And when it doesn't come, when the one I love stays dead, I've lost the ability to find myself in the text. So my professor invited me to find myself in Lazarus. She reminded me that Lazarus is a shortened form of the name Eleazar, which means God helps. She reminded me that Bethany means house of affliction. It's also been translated house of poor. To say that Jesus healed Lazarus of Bethany is to say God helps the afflicted, the poor. Remember, I said that Martha and Mary's message to Jesus about their brother's illness was simple. He whom you love is ill. That begs a question. Who is he whom Jesus loves? Who is she whom Jesus loves? You see, Lazarus represents all who Jesus loves. You, me, all of us. This story, my professor reminded me, is the story of our coming from life to death, from death. To see ourselves in Lazarus is to understand that the promise of resurrection is for us. There's a sense in which this story of the raising of Lazarus is a grand illustration of the promise made in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. Lazarus shows us this promise in vivid imagery. And yet, John wants us to see in Jesus something more than a future promise. In his epilogue, John tells us, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. The promise of life in the Gospel of John is not merely a promise referring to the distant future when we will rise from the dead and finally have an opportunity to live with God as God intended. Rather, John offers us a realized eschatology. Consistently, Jesus reveals that resurrection and life are available right here, right now, to all who believe in him. I came, Jesus says in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, that they might have life and have it abundantly. Abundant, joyful, peaceful life filled with love. These are all available now and will endure forever, even after death, for those who believe. Jesus stands at the tomb of Lazarus and calls, Lazarus, come out. It's a great Halloween scene, really. Lazarus comes out and his hands and feet are bound with strips of cloth. His face is wrapped up like a mummy. He's bound up in the garb of death. And that's no way to live. To find ourselves in Lazarus is to ask, what's binding me up in death? Is it grief? Is it fear? Is it loneliness or anxiety? Lazarus needed to be unbound from the cloths in which he was buried. I need to be unbound from the garb of death that I wear about me every day. Now notice that Lazarus' resurrection is a two-step process. Jesus calls him out of the tomb, and then he says, unbind him and let him go. For you English majors in the room, Jesus uses the second person plural imperative. For everyone else who comes from Texas, he said, "Y'all unbind him and let him go." Jesus is resurrection and life, and Jesus stands at our tombs and calls us out. Our responsibility is to answer the call, to walk toward him, even as we are bound up in the garb of death. Our unbinding will come through the body of Christ, through community here in the church. We unbind one another when we gather together to worship, to pray, and to share the sacraments. In just a few moments, we'll baptize 3 new Christians. We will all stand, and we will agree to do everything in our power to support them in their lives in Christ. We will agree to participate in their unbinding. This week, I found myself in Lazarus. I hear Jesus calling, "Rebecca, come out." I hope you hear Jesus calling you as well. As we walk together toward the one who calls us out of death, let us then look to one another and say, "Unbind me and let me go." And all God's people said, "Amen."